Call the meeting to order, start with a salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Open a meeting for public comment.
Not applicable.
Not applicable, okay.
Come on, don't you have anything to say?
All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve the October board meeting minutes.
Make a motion.
Second.
Motion by Ryan, second by Charlie. Questions on the minutes? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Entertain a motion to approve the treasurer's report for October.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Rich.
Second.
Second by Guy. Questions on the treasurer's report? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. No correspondence. Old business, so I want to talk about the sidewalk project. At a meeting with DOT today in LaBerge, I'm giving you some information here. So the first one we're going to start out with is this one here that has the like Excel spreadsheet stuff with it. So this is the application that was submitted back in 2021, July of 2021. So the cost of the project was estimated at that time to be about $3,070,000, $71,000. And that was, and the village was expected to cover $614,191. Now that was determined by the costs on the second page. So if you look at the number of, you know, each street and what it was, and then there are some cost estimates. There's a contingency, which is rather significant, almost over $200,000. And there were some costs not related to construction. I'm not really sure what those are, but I know they're not part of the administrative part of it because I got that separate. But anyway.
Bob, what's the water line?
So the water line is, all right, so this project we got a TAP award for, and the TAP of 2.4 million plus 365,000 from the state. But it only covers pavement, sidewalks, curbs, drainage, that kind of stuff. It does not cover the water line. We applied separately for a grant to get for the water line, which we did not receive.
Are you disrupting the water line or?
We're replacing
it. Oh, replacing, okay.
Yeah. So the water line is something that we've got to pay for out of our own budget. Out of the water budget. So it's separate from the TAP. So the page, going back to the first page is the total project, the project costs are less the water amount. Okay, so if you look at the totals on the left under 2021 TAP CMAQ, you can see the water's not included in there. But there is the construction inspection and design, final design, all that kind of stuff. And so our share of that was going to be, this is just that part of it, in the general fund would have been a maximum of $614,000. So it's likely that the project would have come in under that, and our share would have been 20%. So our share could have been reduced had we stayed under budget. And those are the numbers that we presented back then when we agreed to go forward with the project and apply for the grant. So since then,
fast forward
to 2024, and it's like it's crazy. So now the cost of construction is anticipated to be $3.5 million. You know, plus the items on the front page of that of $935,000, which is preliminary design, final design, and construction inspection, which I think is high, and I would fight with that, but until we determine if we're going to go forward, I'll leave that till later. But right now, we're looking at the cost of construction is $365,000. Unfortunately, you know, what that means is that anything over the $2.4 million plus the $350,000, we're responsible for 100% of the costs. So that brings us to the cost of the project to the village of being a maximum where it was $614,000. Now it's a maximum of $2 million. And, you know, I think that's a little outside the realm of possibility.
So on the last page where it has the $3.5 million there, 2024 plus, does it also the anticipated construction cost of almost another $4 million on the front?
Well, no. It's $365,000. It's $3,565,000.
Right.
Plus $935,000 in design and construction inspection cost. There's a difference in there of about $400,000 in their anticipated construction costs in this thing. I just printed this out of their I don't know where the difference is. But even at the 3.5, it's still very high. Because now the total cost of the project is $4.5 million, and we still only have 2.7. So that leaves us with, you know, $1.5 million in cost to the village, not including the water.
Can it be broken up?
No, we can't change it. In addition to that, there is, we've come to a kind of a problem with right-of-way. So as it turns out, much to my surprise, is that the state doesn't have much right-of-way on Route 203. And so they are telling us that we, before they will proceed with the project and get and give us money to do this project, we have to get a right-of-way from all of the residents on the street that's involved. Every residence that is involved. I counted them up, I was just in there counting. There's about 35 of them.
Both sides,
plus Corner Meek. We're putting a sidewalk on Corner Meek, Fairgrounds, replacing the sidewalk on Fairgrounds, and then John Street. So there was two there, so 37.
How wide do they show, we're talking about State Highway, the 29, mm-hmm. How wide do they show that?
The right-of-way?
Yeah.
And some of them to the edge of the pavement.
Just the edge of the pavement?
Yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Because the standard one was 3 rods, which is 49.5 feet,
right,
which is a lot of width.
Yeah, that's what I told them. I said, I can't believe that you guys put a highway in and you don't have a right-of-way. It's totally ludicrous.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Does that mean I'm trespassing on someone's line when I walk along the road?
Yeah.
No, I mean on the side of, on,
yeah, somebody's property.
So what if we can't get these 35 signatures of right-of-way?
Well,
what if one person says no?
Well,
does that stop the whole project?
Well, it doesn't necessarily, because we can take it by right of eminent domain because it's for the public good. But it's expensive to do it that way. So we talked about that. So the state, if we make getting the right of way a part of the project, they would reimburse us for 80%. But the way they do it is they don't just go to the neighbor and say, hey, we want to put a sidewalk in front, we need you to sign this paper, giving us an easement so we can put it there and yada, yada, yada. They only go the eminent domain route. So that means that they would get, have to get an assessment for each parcel. Then they would have to notify the owner what that piece of, you know, 50 feet long by 6 feet wide was to put the sidewalk in, you know, plus the setbacks of the road.
So the state would do the eminent domain piece for us?
We would pay for it.
But
the state would tell us, they wouldn't. They would tell us what they want.
Yeah.
And we would do it.
And we would have to pay.
You would do it.
No, I wouldn't. Because, you know, that's, if you want to, the thing is, before you file the eminent domain, you have to find out who owns it. So you have to do like a little mini title report, right? So it isn't just like.
Well, they estimated it's between $300,000 and $400,000 to do it. It would
cost. That doesn't sound crazy. You mean to do the legal work and the other stuff?
To get the titles.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, one of the things that Bob and I talked about, if this is what they're looking for, and I don't know specifically, but if most people have a mortgage on their house. I mean, I'd say that's more common than not. So you're getting an easement through John Doe's property. If that property has a mortgage on it and John Doe gives you an easement over his property, the lien of the mortgage is superior to our easement over the road. Let's say John Doe doesn't pay his mortgage, they foreclose, your easement's wiped out. So you're kind of rolling the dice. You have to get the bank to give you a release. Mm.
Did we do that on Alter Alleyway?
No, because there was no, that was a road by use. That's basically what we did. We didn't go through with that. And we weren't paying anybody either.
Right. So if these properties have a sidewalk out in front already,
yeah,
is that a sidewalk by use?
That would be the argument, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But it's weird that a state highway, and that's a big highway. I mean, you know, in the world.
So my understanding with the guy is, and I got to get back to him, is that if we got easements and the residents to sign off on them, that we could use, that would be sufficient to get the project going and get paid for it. And then if the state wanted right-of-ways, definite, you know, ownership, then they could take those easements and get and turn them into right-of-ways, and they would do that on their own.
Okay.
Not with us.
I used to do that when I was first a lawyer, and that's an amazingly cumbersome process.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, the good thing is that if you go to DOT, when you look at any state map, they have maps, they have surveys, they've got a great set of records. The problem is it takes a long time to do that. They got to file the maps. Like,
well, we've done that already.
Yeah.
We've already done that. I mean, in the original set of plans that we have, LaBerge researched the right-of-ways.
Okay.
And that's the problem.
So we had some title work. Things might have changed hands.
Yeah, we might, then, because it's been two or three years.
But not too many.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, a lot of the work has been done. We know where they are. We know what we need to get. So
we have to come to with some kind of agreement before we go forward. We have to have some kind of an agreement setting forth the parameters of what we have to do. I mean, I'm just interested. Mm-hmm. We have to do this mortgage release thing because that's a whole other, you know, smoke.
Well, I can ask. I'll be having another meeting.
I'd be happy to talk to whoever's if they tell you, well, we got the lawyers, I'll be happy to talk to whoever you want me to talk to.
Yeah, well, I'm just dealing with the guy that's handling the grant right now, Lorenzo Cuno at the DOT.
And a lot of them along that way are probably rentals,
He actually sent us an email confirming
that could
something.
That be complicated.
Most people in the bureaucracy.
But you're only the only dealer, you're not dealing.
Yeah.
He said, you got to tell us.
That's if they say yes.
I don't have anything to say.
Most people say no, they don't.
You might want to touch base with him and see what it's going to need, but
what's
he's the guy.
What's his last name again?
Lorenzo? It's Lorenzo Cuno. C-U-N-I-E-O, I think. Let me see, I got an email with his name on it.
Yeah, he's good people.
So we don't have an option, Bob, of scaling the project back?
No. Not under this. I'm not finished, though. We have other things that we can do. Let me just make sure I get his, C-U-N-E-O. His email is lorenzo.cuneo, C-U-N-E-O, at dot.ny.gov.
I'm sorry, what was that? N-Y, D-O-T?
N-Y.gov.
dot.ny.gov.
Mm-hmm. Let me make sure I got the right, because I got two Lazint. I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
Yeah, they have a standard.
There's two. Believe it or not, there's two Lorenzos. Let me see which one goes to only one.
I think we'll probably end up doing the eminent domain thing. I don't think people are going to sign off because they already complain now they have to take care of sidewalks. If you're asking them for a piece of their right away to put a sidewalk, they're going to be like, are you going to take care of it?
They'll be flatter.
No, they won't be. They already complain. And most of them along that way are renters. The owners don't even live in those houses. We send them violations for sidewalk and, you know, icy sidewalks and stuff. And
that's hard to do with icy sidewalks.
Yeah. They don't want to even take care of the sidewalks. Well, so if you could present
that's what
it,
we need to do. So.
Well, I know what we need to do. I'm saying I think that we're going to end up going the other way that Dave said is really hard and expensive.
Well, I don't
not
think
if we need everybody's signature.
It's not likely we'll do that, but.
Right.
Likely we'll just give them back their $3 million and say thanks for nothing.
Well, it is making it difficult.
So anyway, the other option is that we can, and he's checking into this, that we can reapply. And the thing is that there's been, I mean, there's a huge increase in cost of products, as well as an increase in labor costs over since we did this in 2021. COVID made the price of materials have skyrocketed. Like it's up like 30-40%. Labor is probably up about 10 or 15%, but mostly it's materials. But I still think that number they have is high, so. But that's a possibility.
So we apply for another grant?
Well, yeah, well, we might not get it either. And LaBerge did say if we applied for another one, they would, because they dropped the ball on keeping this moving.
Was that his phrase?
Yeah.
Really?
Actually, he did. He was much nicer today. I feel better.
Okay.
that they would do the application for free.
Oh, nice.
So.
As they should.
But they can't guarantee we're going to get it. That's the other fly in the ointment.
Even getting the money, does that change the, we still need to get the right-of-ways, right?
We would still need to get the right-of-way, but we could put that in the, we could put that in the,
oh, the
in the budget.
Oh, okay.
And then plus the additional cost, so instead of, you know, applying for $2.4 million, we could have applied for up to $5 million.
Right, and then we could put the cost of it into the application rather than, okay.
But you'd still have to come up with the 20%.
Still got to come up with 20%. So 20% of $5 million is $1 million.
That we have to buy.
So, but anyway, well, that would be a $6 million project, though, keep in mind. So we're not quite there yet. But so if we got a $4 million project, we're talking about $800,000. We would have to, what our piece would be. So.
Plus the water.
Plus the water. But the water's out of the separate fund. And the water, I think, is fine. I don't have a problem. I don't see a problem with the water. We're finishing up our bond next year on the water. And we'll roll into 2026 and we'll just get another bond and continue to $50 that should cover it without any problem. We should be good. You know, we shouldn't have to raise rates, but we still could do this improvement. You know, and we just have the bond on there for another probably 5 or 6 years.
For $1 million?
Oh, no, the water's only about $300,000.
Oh, well, we have to bond the millions, so where's that going?
Well, that comes out of the general fund. The water's out of the water fund.
Right, but I'm saying where's the other bond going to go?
The general fund.
For the residents, though?
In the general fund.
So what? Taxes.
Regular
tax
taxes.
Bill. Oh, okay, that's what it was. So you'll have a bond on your tax bill and your water bill.
Well, it'll be a part of the budget. It will be. They don't do the bonds in the general fund the same way they do in the water, we're doing them in the water fund. So I think we need to, what I'd like is to have Dave look into what the getting the easements and what we need to do that, and you know, so that we can get an idea of what that's going to cost. And the other thing I would like to do is I would like to use some of the money out of the engineering budget for this year, and I would like to go to Keller Construction because I have a set of plans and specs, because this job was bid in 2019 and it's just, we changed nothing. And I would like to have them rebid it in anticipated 2026 numbers to see if their numbers match this 3.5 million in construction costs. Mm-hmm. Because I think those are high.
Did you bid this out the first time? In other words, did you do it through?
Yeah, we did. But we didn't have a grant. So we would have had to pay for everything if we did it then.
Right. But did you get any other bids at the time?
We had three bids.
Did you?
Yeah. At least three. I think it was under $1 million.
Were these guys the best?
Keller? No. They weren't the lowest. But there are people I trust for just to get a budget number.
Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, you know, I'd like to go to be able to go to them and tell them I'll pay you. I just need you to reestimate this job and anticipate 2026 construction, just to check on it. And I told the guy from LaBerge that, you know, I thought his number was high and I'm going to check it. So, I mean, I think we need to know what we're spending before we can decide whether we're going to keep going. All right, so any thoughts?
What is really going to come down to?
I think you should get the second opinion.
Speaking
from
of, so you can hear
Keller.
What it's going to come down to is either we get something that's more reasonable or we give the grant money back.
Correct. We have to get this into a place where we can afford to bond the difference. That's what we got to do. We have to get this job into a price where we can afford to bond the difference. And, you know.
And you can't eliminate any parts of it.
Not under this. The grant is in. It's for a certain amount of work. And that's the way it is. So we can change it if we
go for a new grant.
So then we're just waiting on what it would look like for legal work for getting the easement.
Well, yeah,
like
we're
that.
Looking at what we need to do to get the easements and
updated construction.
Yeah.
Well, the construction update should. I mean, and that's what I'm going to argue about them too. I mean, their numbers are ridiculous. $320,000 to inspection. For construction inspection. Really?
If LaBerge is going to apply again for us for free, what else would it cost us? I mean, what do we have to lose if they're going to?
We could lose the job. We could lose the grant.
The one that we already have.
Right.
Okay.
But at this point, I don't see that we could take advantage of the grant as it is right now.
Well, they're looking into seeing if we could adjust the number because of inflation. Because we're not the only ones that are in this problem. I mean, we had a job ready to go in 2019 or 2021 when we submitted this. A lot of people didn't. They got cost estimates and stuff in 2021. They didn't have any drawings or anything. They're also getting ready to bid. And now their prices are not anywhere near what they thought they were spending. They're in the same boat that we are.
So there's a chance we don't have to reapply. We could just...
Yes, and I'll know. I hopefully know that, and you know, I'll have an idea about that in a week or two.
What's the date to apply? What's the deadline?
There is no deadline yet. I mean, they're not even out yet. They don't even let these out till like the spring. So,
understand.
So we have time.
We could get more money if we reapply.
Right. We could.
Or we could get nothing.
Right. If we don't get it, we get nothing.
You know, there may be, I think in the construction industry, not that I'm actually, but there's, you know, it's a big nationwide thing, and there may be some standard measurements of, you know, that people have developed where they can very specifically give you a CPI on construction of this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where, like a generally accept, or a range where they can say, okay, well, sidewalks are this. Just a thought.
Yeah, so the discussion was that we were going to look into what we would have to do for easements. Lorenzo was going to look into talk to some people down at DOT and that are involved with this type of, this TAP grant, because it's a federal grant. And so they were going to see what they could do to increase the award, you know, the scope of the cost. Yeah. And, you know, and then we're going to kind of get back together and see where we are. So I hope to have better information for you by next month. But in the meantime, I still want to get that information there, and I want to get an estimate of the job from an outside source.
Yeah.
So
what do you anticipate that number is going to be? The cost on that, the Keller part. Because right now we have $9,900.
Oh, it ain't gonna be that much. Okay. Maybe a grand, I guess.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I don't know what it is, but
what, for an estimate?
We have.
They charge you to give an estimate?
They would for this, because it's not a bid. They would for this. And I mean, and they might do us a favor and not charge us, but you never know. I mean, it's a
probably
pretty. It's a pretty substantial bid.
Because they would want the job. If they gave us a quote, though, could they be? Would that be a conflict for them to bid later on when we did bid the job?
No.
Okay.
No. And a matter of fact, it might help them because they've already got all the takeoffs. If they go back to their files, they could just update what they got. So.
Well, I think.
I don't anticipate it's going to cost a lot. You know, I can shoot an email out to you, let you know. You can, I mean, you know, but there's 9,000 in the budget, in the line, and I would like to spend what I need to spend out of there to get that estimate so we know where we are. I think that's going to be very important, because that's going to give me my background to, you know, to argue, to decide. Because, I mean, they could put anything they want in the number. You know, they could tell the state that's going to cost $5 million. I don't care, as long as it comes into the number that I got, because that's a number that determines what I got to borrow, not the number they give the state. Only what we spent.
Make a motion.
I don't know if you need a motion. Do we need a motion? Yeah, you can make a motion. I make a motion that we secure an estimate for the sidewalk project as bid in 2019, and that money be paid out of the engineering line, which is, what is engineering? 1040?
1440.
Dot four. Yes.
Do you need to be specific? What caliber?
No. I'm specifically not being specific with caliber in case he says he doesn't have time.
Okay.
I'll find somebody else.
Somebody just outside of the Burge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
I'll second it.
Second by Rich. Questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. So the second thing we wanted to talk about tonight is, so we're having some issues with our code enforcement. So, and well, dog enforcement too, I suppose, but both the same. So our codes people, whether it's animal control or the code enforcement officer, we send them letters and certified letters. We serve them to be in court by hand, and nobody shows up. Now, I know that twice, right? Somebody didn't come?
Yeah, several times.
Yeah, so.
Who are you?
What do we do?
Send it to the sheriff.
Well, they can't, they didn't come. They've been served.
Which community? Discuss specifically who. Because I just talked to Code this morning.
Okay.
About this, because he's concerned about some vacant houses that he sought to enforce.
Well, those are other ones too.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said he'd only sent letters. He hadn't sent.
He had only sent letters to them.
Right.
He served paperwork on Westbrook Drive.
Yeah, that is pending.
That's pending.
Yeah.
He served paperwork.
That's next week.
Where else did Matt serve paperwork?
Well, Lynn had served paperwork for.
Lynn's a dog.
Lynn and him both served tickets.
We got a, didn't we get a notice from Lynn that the dog is gone?
Yes.
We did. But we still want to know.
But prior to that, there was ticket issued for her to appear to court, which we sent certified letter.
Right.
And Lynn hand delivered it as well, so she very well knew.
Like an appearance ticket?
Yes, that she needed to come to court.
Yeah.
And then she was a no-show.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the next step would be to ask the court to send a letter to the person. Otherwise, just ask the court to set it down for a hearing. If they default on a hearing, impose penalties.
I was going to ask Dave, like for us, and I know their administrative hearings might be a little different. As long as I can prove the person's been served at least 30 days prior to the hearing date, the hearing officer has the right to go forward with the hearing in their absence.
Just give them a notice that if you fail to appear, you'd be in default, that's all.
Okay, then you get tickets.
Yeah, you got to give them a thing, it's like a summons. It's a little thing, you know, you're directed to appear in court on such and such a date to answer charge of violating section such and such of the village code. And then if, obviously if you don't, in other words, you got to step a little carefully here, okay, I think, because you want to provide due process, you want to make sure that people are getting these things. I mean, it's fair, you don't want to be doing a default judgment and then have to unroll the whole thing. But that would be, seem to me to be the way to do it. You know, just do, I think what Code is trying to do is just send people a letter, because you want to try and do it cooperatively. I mean, you got to sort of find out what the person's attitude is, like maybe they don't know. In the situation that we're dealing with, without going into specifics, there's a lot of sort of avoidance there. There's some issues going on there that aren't just very straightforward.
And that's a different topic, but I guess the question is once she got to that point, both sides got to that point with this same issue, they didn't show up to court.
Yep.
Now the court, you're saying we could enforce a ticket. Well, okay, so now they're going to fine them, and they don't pay the ticket.
Yeah, then you have to dock it as a civil judgment.
And you can't even.
Yeah. In other words, we're not going to be. You're going to find it very hard to find a judge that's going to put someone in jail for a code violation throughout this county. I mean,
and you can't suspend their license anymore.
Well, you can't suspend your license on a housing code type thing.
Okay.
You know, most of what we do has nothing to do with that.
Right.
Know?
See, there's.
I mean,
and that's what we thought.
What we're trying to do with some of these folks is if they've got a cleanup issue, is to impose that cost of cleanup in some fashion as a tax lien. But I got to be honest. You know, there's some people just kind of beyond it. You know, they don't have money, or they have money and they have an attitude, and it's hard if they don't want to sort of. You know, I don't think anybody's going to put them in jail.
Right. There's not a lot of enforcing, additional enforcing that we can do.
I once had a represented a man who was ticketed by the local town in northern Rensselaer County for having unregistered vehicles on his property. And he insisted to me that they just were there for a short period of time and he was moving them off and so forth. And we went to the hearing and the prosecutor's town attorney brought in a picture of a car on his yard that was upside down and had a tree growing up through the car. And the tree was about 15 feet tall. So I felt like perhaps I should have inspected the scene before I took the cocky defense attitude I took. It's an old story, but anyway. That's the best we can do. In other words, we can hope that the judge will take a, not a harsh, but a firm attitude and maybe convey to people that they do have something here and we can try and figure out some way that we can put it on the tax bill or have an impact. But
or so, a lien, or, you know, we
or
can,
what?
Can we garnish?
No. Garnish wages and stuff? No.
No. Just put a lien on the tax.
And I suppose you could do it. You could do, I mean, what the...
I mean, if the judge imposes a fine, that fine's not...
The city has, at least I know they do that in city court. They, very often, there's a fine for various kinds of low-rent things that people do. And you can't really, it's hard to put someone in jail for not paying a fine, to be honest. So you convert it to a civil judgment, and then it's converted to a civil judgment. What are you going to do? Garnish your wages for $250? I mean, it's just the economics of it are not a, it's not a strong thing, you know? Because in order to garnish it, you got to send notice. In order to send the notice, you got to serve, you got to find out where they work for starters. You got to send the, you know, they got to send the notice, give it to the notice. There's got to be the sheriff. There's got to be first, there's got to be a notice to the person. If you don't do this, we're going to serve you 30 days later, and it's, you know, your employer 30 days if you don't pay. So it's a fairly involved process because mm-hmm. the sheriff requires fees, and you would easily chew through those fees, you know, on a $250 fine, and you're not going to get huge fines.
I can't go after
I mean, we'll try, but I'm just saying, you know, the folks, you know, there's a kind of person that, you know, you're not, they're not taking care of their yard, and someone comes around, and it's a village official, and they'll take it seriously and they'll make an effort. But
and
there are some people
the other kind.
I found in we had a case in Skodak where the guy was a hoarder, but it was starting to sort of affect the outside too. And you know, we brought in photos, we had a little hearing, and he just said, clean it up. But he did, the local courts don't have the injunction power where they can issue an injunction. They can't issue an order. They can only give judgments for money. So they can't issue an order directing you to do this or not do this, in which case the order, if you violated the order, you'd be contempt, and then maybe you'd be jailed for that.
Right.
But, you know, they're limited courts of they're courts of limited jurisdiction and limited powers.
Okay. So we did pretty much all we could do.
Well, we're trying, and Coleman is a good guy. He's really, he wants to do a good job. You know, he's calling me about what to do, and so he's...
Yeah,
you know,
I was talking about the other issue with the dog. But,
yeah, so. And then she somehow has become the repository for complaints about all kinds of lifestyle things. I don't know why. It's like my neighbors did.
Yep. Yes, well.
All right. Any other questions on that? No. All right, moving on. New business. So I think it's time that the village got a debit card. A lot of stuff today, as you know, is bought online. And we, without a debit card, we either, Missy's either got to put her credit card out there and get reimbursed, which doesn't look too good on the books, and you know, and or we have to set up accounts, which are hard with a lot of online businesses. They don't want to set up an account to bill you or anything. So but I think we should get, you know, get a debit card, and as long as we get, you know, good documentation as to what was spent, I don't see what the issue would be.
Amazon has their business.
Huh?
So Amazon has the business aspect of it, I think.
Well, we have that.
So they should give you a detailed breakdown so that you can reconcile.
I think Amazon, we can do, they'll send us a bill and we can send them a check.
Yeah, Amazon's been
Amazon's very helpful.
And 90% of our stuff.
Yeah, it takes so long to set these things up. That's the problem. So if something comes up and it's a new vendor and they're an online account.
Tom's having a problem right now, and it's been over a month trying to get this other account that we had a long time ago reinstated because he needs a new police server thing, and it's been a while. If we had had a card, we could have just bought it. But since he has to get this piece of whatever only from this one company because nobody else has it, it's been over a month that we've been trying to get these things that we need for the police department and a few things for the office that he needs to upgrade. It's just It's kind of a nightmare.
As long as it's receded, everything should be fine.
Yep.
Yeah, so generally there's a policy. I know, like, for the district, fire district, we have a credit card policy. Mm-hmm. So the chief has one and the treasurer has one. And they're allowed to spend up to X number of dollars.
He's the only one that's going to have one.
And then anything over that, they have to get an approval from a trustee or an individual over that amount. So, yeah. And then if they spend it, they
probably
just let the
person
know.
Probably wouldn't be used much, but in a case like what Tom running into right now, it would have been used and it could have fixed his problem
just,
3 weeks ago.
Buy it for him.
How much is the server?
Well, the quote that he's getting now, we're in 900s and something, yeah.
All right, so
a couple things
why don't we
needs.
Give her, you know.
The police department needs a few upgrades.
I was
going to
say 1,500 each. Oh. 2,000. What do you, how much, what do you want for a limit on that? Because we're going to put a limit on it.
I don't know. It's mostly tech stuff that he needs, and I'm not a tech person.
$2,000?
Yeah, I would say that that's probably good. He never usually spends more than that, but it sometimes is over 1,000.
Okay, so let's, so I would entertain a motion to apply for a debit card for the village clerk, and the maximum amount to be spent is $2,000, can be spent without board approval.
Make a motion.
Motion by Ryan.
Second.
Second by Guy.
I have a question.
Yes.
What's the advantage of a debit card versus a credit card?
Well, it could be a credit card. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm just...
It could be either.
Debit's tied to a specific account mm-hmm. and it immediately spends, right?
Yeah. So, right, so it would reduce what's in the account immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, that's...
I actually think the credit card might be better than the
better fraud protection
yeah.
and things.
All right,
and a more itemized statement of what you where you spend and how much you spend.
Yeah, because we'll get a monthly statement.
So let's amend it to a credit card then.
Okay, so a credit card.
You agree with that, Ryan?
So it was Ryan and Guy was all in favor.
You're all set with that, Guy?
Yep.
Good with that?
Thank you.
So what kind of credit card would it be?
Probably KeyBank. That's our account.
Yeah. We'll just get whatever. I'll tell Wendy to get it. She'll do the application.
Yeah, she has to do all the paperwork. KeyBank's our branch, so.
Yeah, and the bank has one, so we'll just probably just get it there. I mean, we're not going to be looking for rewards or... Should we be looking for rewards or cash back or some freaking thing?
No.
Miles.
Where's missing Puerto Rico? Something about
it. So, okay.
Okay, so that's this one.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion's carried. All right, next two items are transfers. So, transferred. $20,597 from fund balance to 9010.8 state retirement. Transfer $182 from fund balance to 9015.8 police retirement. So the issue is that apparently when Kevin Hitchcock got hired, it was never reported to retirement that he was an employee. He's been working here for, I don't know how long, 2008, maybe? I think it was 2008. It's been like 16 years. And so now retirement wants all the money we owe.
Plus interest.
Plus interest and penalties, I'm sure.
Usually just interest.
That still doesn't make sense to me.
Is he retiring? Did they just?
Well, that might have been what triggered it. I think he's looking to retire in the next few years. He might have been looking at what it was worth. And
but that means what he was making here must never have shown up on his statement.
Yeah,
and that's probably why.
Been reported.
And that's probably why he said, "Hey, I've been working for the village since blah blah blah." Where does that show up? So, my guess.
Yeah, you get a statement every year.
Right, he might have gotten his annual statement
kind of
showing
like,
that.
Hey, this shows a little light.
I'm about 16
because
years
because he was
short.
Already a member someplace else.
He's a full-time
employee.
He said
no, because
he
already was.
Yeah, but they show you.
Yeah, they see and they show you the different
you get a thing from, what's his name?
They'll show you the earnings.
Yeah.
But he will be capped at 1 year of service, so he doesn't get extra service. So if he's not looking at, like, breaking down the earnings that he gets between here and there.
I suppose you're right.
He's not gonna.
Yeah. Must have been a moment for him.
So why do we have to pay it then if he's not gonna get any more anyway?
Well, it still goes towards his income.
It goes towards his earnings for retirement, so it goes towards his pension check.
He did earn it.
But you can only get up to 1 year of service per
year.
Right,
he already gets that someplace else.
Right, so that's right.
That's why he didn't join.
But he gets.
I remember him talking about it. I don't need to, I'm already a member someplace else.
Right,
but he has to join.
He has to report it.
Right, he has to, I mean, he has no option. If he's already a member, he's got zero option. He's considered joined, everything is reportable.
And then what he gets, you know, his pension will be based on a higher rate of earnings than if he was just in East Greenwich.
Because having this stuff might raise his final average salary to another.
Raise his pension a couple hundred bucks maybe.
Yeah, so.
All right, so that's what that's about. I don't know if Doug, police retirement was short $182. I don't know why. They send you two bills. They send me one like early on before we do the budget. Mm-hmm. And then they send us another one like in August before we make the payments. And they're never the same.
It's probably an audit. And, you know, they probably work through the numbers. They have more details.
Yeah. So anyway, that one was just $182 short. And usually we fix it later, but since we're fixing the one, we'll fix them both.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Guy.
Second.
Second by Ryan.
Can we have just a question
or
a comment? Can we make sure when we hire people that we report it so that we don't get hit with a big bill like this in the future?
They're supposed to sign off on things.
I know, but somebody's got to, like,
actually
check up on this. I mean, because we're getting the short end of the stick here.
Let me know. Whenever anybody is hired, let me know and I'll look into it. Because that's what I do.
Right. So our deputy court clerk will have to get, we'll have to report, start reporting her.
Well, I asked Wendy.
Yeah.
Already. She's already.
She's already in the system.
She's retired. She's not even.
So then she didn't, if she's retired and working again, then she's not in the system. If she's
She can't report again. She's already collecting, I guess.
The reporting has changed. So now returning retirees will get reported. Then
make sure they don't go over the cap?
Yep, so that instead of sending out the paper every year asking, do you have any retirees, what did they make?
Mm-hmm.
It's already in the system so that it can be tracked and it's easier to warn them saying you're approaching.
What's the cap about? Is it
35,000 right now? I mean, it's
so I gave her the packet and she did check the form that she does not want to join. Because I think she said she's already retired and collecting.
So, right. So she actually wouldn't be even be given the option if she was retired and collecting from a public.
Right. And Wendy said that was correct. So,
which is fine. And if once it goes to enhanced reporting, she will have to be reported.
All right. I don't know anything about
that. You don't hear her for 3 months.
But this isn't enhanced yet. So you'll just get the piece of paper in March asking about any retirees that work here.
I don't get it. Thank you. Thank God. Because it's complicating enough. I'm trying to make heads or tails of my own retirement right now.
Yeah.
2 years later.
Did we vote on that?
No.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Appoint Joe Quinn to the planning board, term ending 2029.
Yes, so when you put out that flyer thing and we asked for volunteer people, we did get a few. So as we had a meeting coming up, Joe was one of the people, and I asked him to sit in on a planning board one. So he came to a concept meeting, which was last month, and I asked him to check it out, see if he was interested. Then he got back to me and said that he was and did want to, so Tom Snow said that they'd be happy to have him and I'd like to appoint him to join that planning board.
Okay, we should let him know where the about the training that
I let him know about
NICOM
that
has, and if you want, tell us when he wants
that
to do
nobody
it.
Nobody has,
up.
But I send it to him every time it's offered. Yeah.
I'll make a motion to appoint Joe Quinn to the planning board.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Hire Mary Beth Horowitz, the part-time court clerk, to job share the position with Debbie at a rate of $298.82 each, and that's what, per bi-weekly or?
Debbie and her are sharing Debbie's salary, so yeah. Debbie's getting
She gets paid every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah, so it's bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly, yeah. And that's what the anyone's going to do that comes into that winter position for now on.
So what's happening is that because we've had so many issues just leaving somebody here to work, and Debbie comes back and things are not quite right, to make it nice, Debbie is going to be working remotely with whoever is hired to do this. So she'll be working hours with the person remotely while the person does all the inputting and stuff. So she'll be, that's why they're sharing the job, but they're sharing just a one salary, so it's no additional cost to the village.
Right.
Any other questions on that?
Debbie might be retired. She worked in the court system. She worked for Steve.
She still does.
Huh?
She still works in the court system. Yeah, she's our court clerk.
No, I know that, but is she possibly retired from the system?
I don't think she's retired. I don't know. I don't know if she is or not.
Well, it just came up. I'm not reporting anybody here if we're supposed to be doing that.
I'll make the motion to hire Mary Beth.
Motion second. By Rich, second by Charlie. Questions? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion's carried. Everybody got a copy of the monthly reports from police, streets, and water. Any questions on any of the reports? Okay, any trustee have anything they want to bring up before we close pay the bills here?
I just have a quick addendum to the police report.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of things that have been happening that I talked to the chief this morning, and he wanted to let us know that the vehicles are being re-equipped with laptops and scanners and printers and things like that. Apparently the state police are providing those for us.
Nice.
So that's nice. And they also, the chief applied for a grant for $98,000, which would include the new vehicle, as well as some other equipment. So it's through DCJ, the state justice system. So, you know, potentially that might pay for the vehicle if we get it. He said that the folks he was working with at DCJS seemed confident. There's no guarantees, but they seem confident because it was below $100,000.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but I thought people would be happy to hear that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, tell them thank you. I'll cross my fingers, say some prayers. Doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and speaking of that, we put in the court, or Debbie put in another grant from the court to get us a projector and a new sound system for in here, as well as, there was something else she was getting to, wasn't there?
The PA system.
Well, the PA system.
Chairs.
New microphones.
Guys, new chairs.
Oh yeah, new chairs up here, for up here on the dais.
I forgot what else.
You know, we're gonna set up with like 4 speakers, 2 in the back, 2 in the front here, new microphones, a couple of wireless ones for the podiums there, and a projector, or we're going to set up with a camera up here so we can do Zoom if we have to, if we want to in the future. And then we're going to have a projector go over there so that we could do our budget and plug everything in from up here and,
nice.
And set up. So that's the application for this year.
Yeah.
And
so far she's been pretty successful.
And we've been really, she's been good at getting them, so hopefully we'll get it again.
So.
Excellent.
All right, anything else before we pay the bills?
Well, I just want to remind everyone that doesn't seem likely, but it's almost December already. And our tree lighting is before our next meeting. So anybody want to make cookies and join me at the park that day on December 8th? Cookies?
Yeah. I'll tell her.
And that's at 5 o'clock.
Or Missy wants your cookies.
Town Youth is also going to be doing something that day with us. We're all going to be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hopefully a great day because I don't want it to be cold. But yeah, I can't believe it's almost tree lighting time already.
Mm-hmm. Be summer before you know it.
I hope so.
Anything else?
Despise winter.
All right. Entertain a motion to pay bills number 155 through 188 in the amount of $59,777.95 in the general fund, $12,351.62 in the water fund, and $5,464.75 paid outside of Abbott.
Make a motion.
Motion by Ryan.
Second.
Second by Charlie. Questions on the bills? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion's carried. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I know a lot of you all work to help others. We have the Scout Food Drive coming up. We have the Resource Center's got the food packing going on the same day to get that food out to the needy in our neighborhood. So I want a special thanks to those folks, and everyone has a good happy holiday, and we'll see you all next month. Adjournment's in order.
Make a motion.
Motion by Rich.
Second.
Second by Ryan.